Welcome back to the Intentionally Fouled Podcast, where nothing in sports is off limits and everything is out of bounds. Unfortunately, this is going to be the last episode for the podcast. Jacob and I have become very busy in our personal lives. There is more to our lives than a sports podcast, believe it or not. And there are two of us. You know, it takes two people to do a two-person podcast.
To tango. So,
yeah, exactly. And I mean, we're not the happiest about it, but things kind of had to come to this point. We really didn't want to leave, I'm going to have to edit this up. It's unfortunate that it's come to this point, but we had a bunch of fun doing this podcast.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it just sucks, but at the end of the day, this is a hobby for us, and we're both in graduate school, so it's pretty intense for our lives in the academic world, and it's just going to get crazier after we graduate in May, so we figured that this would be a good time to end it, I think.
Yeah. And we're still going to be active on Instagram doing pics and posts and whatnot. Just you won't be able to hear our voices for a little bit.
Yeah.
As sorry as it is, you know. But yeah, that's the update on the podcast. But enough of the sad stuff. Let's get into the podcast. All right. First up, we got jerseys with logos on them.
Yeah.
What do you think are some of the best and worst ones you've seen? And should they keep this going on?
Okay. So I think, personally, I actually enjoy all the logos. I think it's weird to see bigger companies like Disney, for example, with Orlando Magic, or like Fitbit is kind of a big company for the Timberwolves. But it's kind of weird to see like bigger companies on logos. I understand smaller logos, you know, smaller companies trying to get onto logos. I just think that there's levels to this shit. I think that at a certain point, like, when does it stop? How many logos does it have? Because, I mean, in soccer, the logo is literally right in the middle sometimes.
Right.
Like, for example, there's this one team in, like, France or something that has the Burger King logo on their jerseys. Because then Burger King, they could use it in FIFA and stuff. But I'm just saying that it'd be really weird if I saw, like, brands on NFL jerseys.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And shout out to NASCAR really quick.
Yeah.
NASCAR and branding is just a whole nother level, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, as bad as it may get in some sports, it'll never be that bad. So we got to just be thankful for that.
Yeah.
But I think that as far as, you know, in the NFL, it really needs to stay as it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know what caused a lot of football/soccer teams to have logos take up a majority of their jersey. But I think that it's been around for so long that we're kind of used to it.
Yeah.
And it happened at a good time.
Mm-hmm.
However, if anything major were to happen in football, and I just don't think it would translate the same. Basketball has done a great job with it, though. The NBA, I can't say a perfect job. I mean, there are some logos that are just like, why is it there?
Yeah.
Like, for example, the worst team in the NBA, Los Angeles Clippers. They have the Bumble logo.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Like, why? I mean, you could have picked any other company.
There's so many companies in LA, and they pick the Bumble.
I mean, at least not Tinder.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see when that one happens.
Oh, God. New expansion team out of Vegas.
Probably Sacramento.
Yeah. But some of them work really well. I know you mentioned the Disney Magic one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really can't see anything else. The Fitbit with Minnesota, that actually works pretty nice.
Yeah.
Frost with the Spurs is always good.
Mm-hmm.
And Harley Davidson, the Bucks. I think that makes their jersey so badass.
Yeah.
I used to hate the Bucks jerseys about 5-6 years ago. Then they got Giannis, became a bigger name,
mm-hmm.
and they got this Harley Davidson patch and new jerseys, and now they're some of my favorite.
Yeah, you know? It's weird, but I like how they incorporate a logo from, like, that state or from that area, because Harley Davidson started in Wisconsin, so I really think it's interesting that they've been doing that.
Yeah, and they have a Goodyear for the Cavs,
yep.
also, which fits perfectly once again. I've mentioned this before on a previous podcast about ever since the Celtics jersey redesign, where they added a few extra stripes and the General Electric logo,
mm-hmm.
I think those few changes made a huge difference. You know, I think without the logo, for some reason, I wouldn't like the Celtics jersey as much.
Yeah, I think the General Electric logo actually adds a lot to that jersey. And it's weird that we used to, you know, live in a time where we didn't have logos on jerseys, like based off of company logos. And it's just, I think it's adding a, it's changing the way that we think about things, because everything is becoming more commercialized. So at the end of the day, the NBA, you knew that it was going to happen eventually.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, just the way sports are now. And I mean, who knows if we will see a change. I'm currently fine with the way things are now. But, I mean, if they wanted to do a little logo for NFL jerseys, kind of like the NBA, I could see that. Mm-hmm. As far as football / soccer goes, I got no problem with it, yeah. Really, as is.
I mean, it's been part of that sport for so long.
Yeah, and I mean, with baseball and hockey, I mean, I feel like the same kind of rules would apply mm-hmm. with how they do it in the NBA.
Yeah.
Nothing too drastic, though.
Yeah, it can't be like a giant logo. It has to be like, honestly, in hockey, it would have to be smaller.
Like, who would you want as your logo on a team? Like, you ran a franchise, who would you want sponsoring?
Well, I mean, it would depend where I would be located, but honestly, I'd probably be located in Minnesota. I would probably... Target's overrated, because Target is literally the name of the baseball field, name of the basketball like stadium, and Target would be a good one. 3M would be pretty nice, because 3M's a relatively big company that not a lot of people know about. Just things like that. It would have to link up with the jersey colors. So if, say, 3M, which is like a red logo, the jerseys would have to be red.
Right, right.
The only one that's worked is the Harley Davidson Bucks one, because that's a complete opposite color.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. It's, for me, it's, I do think the color is important, and I wanted to put Dunkin' Donuts in the Celtics jersey so bad. Or like Lucky Charms or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of sick.
That'd be nice. As far as, you know, down in Texas, I'm really surprised Whataburger or HEB or Buc-ee's didn't try to get on a jersey.
Buc-ee's will eventually, man.
Oh, yeah. Cheapest gas in the world, by the way, if you didn't know. All right. So you got anything else for jerseys?
Jerseys, honestly, they're just going to keep getting better. They're honestly just going to keep getting more ads, I believe. Just smaller, kind of like WNBA. And I think it won't be too annoying, at least in our lifetimes.
Yeah, and we've talked about horrible jerseys for episodes on this show.
Yeah,
and I'm actually more worried about bad jersey designs in the future than logos ruining everything.
Yeah,
which is a good, you know, position to be in, I feel like.
100%.
All right, moving on to some unbreakable sports records. Okay, there are a lot of these.
Yeah,
a lot.
I mean, we can't start this off with not talking about Wayne Gretzky.
Oh yeah,
this man 2,857 career points. No one's even close. Even the active players right now, Joe Thornton has 1,500, and Crosby and Ovechkin, who you'd expect to be up there, only has 12,000. Only has 1,200.
Yeah, it's insane. We've talked about Gretzky a bunch, and it's pretty much the general consensus that he is just untouchable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's GOAT, and there's the best, and there's untouchable, which I think is the combination of the two.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky arguably is the best athlete of all time.
Oh, yeah, you could easily make a debate for that. Some of mine are the John Wooden championship run.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that can ever be done again, because a genius like him and just generational talent like Kareem mm-hmm. at UCLA during that time, I mean, I get there was less competition, but I don't think that in modern day NCAA, we're ever going to see that many titles in that many years.
Yeah. And I mean, even during that span, they had 88 straight games of winning.
Yeah.
Which I think is crazy. The only other team in the entire college basketball that's ever beaten that is the UConn women's team when they won 90 straight.
Yeah, they're OP.
Like, yeah. So it's not going to happen in men's basketball anymore.
No, I can't even imagine going to UCLA during that time and just being like, oh, basketball game, automatic dub, yeah. Not even having to worry about it.
Yeah.
That must have been nice.
Yeah. Speaking of UCLA and Kareem points leader. Okay. This man is at what, 38,000 or so?
Yeah.
LeBron's at 34,000 and LeBron's probably got like 4 years left in him. That means that this man would probably have to have 1,000 points for the next four seasons. It's probably possible.
Yeah.
But it feels like it's almost unbreakable.
It does. I didn't actually expect LeBron to ever get this close to it. He'll break Karl Malone's record next season in no time, basically.
36,000?
Yeah. Maybe not next season. Who knows? We'll see what happens. I'm not going to get too ahead of myself, but I do see him being at least number two on the all-time scores list. And it's crazy that we're even talking about him taking the number one spot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everyone thinks it's unbreakable, you know? And I thought LeBron, you know, when I was watching him like 10 years ago, that he would have retired by now. Like, this would have been his final year, but now he's still going strong.
Yeah.
So I could see it. By the way, he will also be the only player to be top five in points, assists, and rebounds.
Damn.
I'm pretty sure.
Legend.
Crazy. Maybe not rebounds, but definitely assists. Yeah, speaking of UCLA also, Russell Westbrook and his triple-double season.
Oh, yeah.
Or three triple-double seasons in a row.
Yeah.
What the hell? I mean, what's crazy is he did this the first time. He won MVP. And then he did it two more times and no one cared. I don't really know. I think it's pretty impressive. But a lot of people do accuse him of stat padding. And I don't think we have seen a player like Westbrook ever who tries to play like that.
Yeah.
I do think there's a little stat padding involved. But he's really an anomaly. I mean, Harden stat pads just his points sometimes. Mm-hmm. Westbrook was doing it all over the court, sometimes to the benefit or, you know, disdain of his team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And even like the triple-double season that he had where he beat Oscar Robertson, like that one, people for a long time thought that that was going to be an unbreakable record.
Yeah.
But then he did it and he beat Oscar Robertson's triple-double per season. So that's pretty impressive.
I only thought it was doable in 2K. And there was a little time where I was trying to do it in my career and I was like, yeah, no one will ever do that. And Russell Westbrook did it. 2 years after that, so I'm never going to try it ever
again. Dude, fuck that. The only way that's going to work is if you're a power forward or something, because getting the rebounds as a shooting guard or small forward, it's almost impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, basically. That's kind of how 2K goes. More basketball records. John Stockton's leader in assist and steal record.
Yeah.
Leading in both is pretty damn impressive. He was very durable, rarely got injured. And you just don't see that anymore nowadays because of load management and just keeping players rested and just a lot of injuries in general.
Yeah.
And CP3 is probably the closest modern point guard comparison to Stockton as far as talent and ability. But CP3 does have the injury record going against him, which is why I don't think he'll catch it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think anybody will catch either of those records.
Right.
They're both very impressive. All right, let's move on to baseball. I got two baseball ones. Yeah, I got two baseball ones. I got the obvious Cal Ripken Jr. consecutive games played. I don't even know what it is, dude. I think it's like 2,400 or something like that. It's fucking crazy. No one is even close. There's not even an active number. Like, because the way it is now, people will play like four games, sit out, four games, sit out. It's never happening. Then Cy Young. He has 511 career wins. Dude, right now, Verlander has 226, and he's probably going to be out for the entire next year. There's no way this man doubles his fucking win thing and coming up to close to Cy Young.
Oh, no. I mean, the award is named after him for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, just legendary shit right there. I do kind of hope Verlander comes back sooner than later, though. He is the one Astro that gets passed for me because he's a pitcher, after all.
Yeah.
I mean, not much he could really do about that whole scandal, but yeah, I don't think that anyone's ever going to touch that.
Yeah.
Moving on to some titles here. I have the 8 straight Celtics titles. I have the Canadiens 5 straight titles. And I have Brady's 6 titles.
Yeah.
I don't think there will be another player in NFL history to get 6 rings because it's very rare for a player to stay on the team for nearly 20 years and then be that dominant for that long and have the team around you and the coach around you to win Super Bowls. Winning a Super Bowl is hard, you know, going back to back is damn near impossible. And so
especially the NFC team.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Damn straight. But with the Patriots, it's like there was nearly a decade where they didn't win a ring, but still during that whole 20-year span, they got six, you know, so they even had to have some things go their way a lot of times. And it's just a combination of coaching, team, skill, luck, player that I don't think we're going to see again.
Yeah. I mean, the Celtics one is very impressive as well. Like, they kept the exact same thing, same team, relatively, the same coach. Like, and they just went on a streak, man.
Yeah, like with Bill Russell's rings, I don't think anyone's going to do that.
No.
You know, the Canadians with their five straight, it's pretty rare to get a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. I know the Penguins pulled it off and everyone freaked out, but imagine doing that twice and more.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
I got an NFL one right here. This is actually, this is my last one, but it's Barry Sanders' 14 consecutive 100-yard games.
Yeah, dude. That is very impressive. I don't think anybody nowadays gets over like two or three.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't happen anymore.
I know. Derrick Henry's been playing really well this season, but he has not kept up the streak. He's like, he'll have a couple 100, 150. He had a crazy game last week.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to do that for 14 straight.
Yeah, I think he's at like three straight games or something like that.
Yeah, which is nuts. But yeah, just absolutely insane.
Yeah. Dude, my football one, I have Brett Favre. Consecutive games played, 321 straight games, including playoffs and whatnot. The only active player that's even relatively close is Phillip Rivers right now. He has 237. If the way that he's playing keeps going, he's not going to fucking keep playing. He's going to get benched.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's not going to catch that. Brett Favre is going to go on and have that streak forever.
Basically. I was noticing something interesting during this segment. I was thinking of most touchdown passes in a year, you know, from Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty untouchable. But did you know that through 6 weeks, Russell Wilson has thrown for like 20-plus touchdowns or like around there?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
I think he might have a shot at doing it. I mean, you got to stay that consistent for a whole year. It's pretty hard, but he is on pace to do it.
Yeah, and his schedule is going to get harder.
Yeah, it's and just to keep the team like on the same page that long too. I don't know. I see the Seahawks dropping a few games, and Russell Wilson will probably have a couple bad games, but he's still my MVP favorite at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that no one is even close to Russell Wilson right now.
Right. Oh, a little side note. Forgot to mention this with the Kareem thing, but this is a fun fact. Before Kevin Durant got injured in Oklahoma City and injured in Golden State, like let's just say none of those either happened, he was actually well on pace to break the Kareem scoring record because he was just putting up 30-point seasons like consecutively, like youngest scoring champ, like back-to-back scoring champ titles. So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he could still do it because I feel like the Nets are going to be crazy. I feel like he could, I don't know, he just needs to stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, who knows what we'll be talking about in 5 years.
Right. I don't like Kevin Durant 4 years ago. I like him now. I think he was smart enough to not stay in Golden State. But if he wins a title for Brooklyn, I'll forgive him entirely.
Yeah.
I will. All right. But that's all my break for records. Got any more?
No, I think that's all I have, too.
All right.
Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. We've downloaded it on our phones, and it's probably one of the smoothest fantasy sports apps we've ever used.
They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top-tier athletes in a respective sport.
For the NFL, you choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup.
In NBA, MLB, PGA, or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup.
Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur.
The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is.
Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool.
For PGA, Thrive has new contests each day of the tournaments, so don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut.
Even better, you can win a lot of money. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018.
Use promo code FOUL20 when you sign up today, and you'll receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more.
Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com.
Or hit the link in our description.
Sign up and hashtag prop up today.
Moving on to the next segment. Is the NBA rigged?
Dude, okay. This is going to be intense because some of it, it's like conspiracy theories, right? Yeah. So for me, sometimes you can, it like feels that way, right? It's kind of the same with the NFL, but we're talking about the NBA. Like, they want to build stories. You know, it was bound for the Lakers to win after Kobe died.
Yeah.
Like, you could just feel the story building, and you knew that they were going to do it. Was it because the NBA was rigged, or was it because the Lakers were more motivated, or was it a combination of both? Like, it's really about stories, too. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's all about narratives. I think their improved play at the end of last season and going into the playoffs, the bubble, was, you know, motivated by Kobe's death. I think they were floating around like 33-19 before that.
Yeah.
And then they just went on like a pretty good run to end the regular season. And I don't know. I find it hard believing that the same outcome would happen if Kobe, you know, he didn't pass away.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just crazy that would happen. You know, we've seen that so many times in sports too, like countless examples, so many that I can't even recall any of them right now.
Right.
Because there's just so many words like that fits perfectly.
Speaking of Kobe Bryant and rigged games, the Western Conference Finals between the Kings and the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
pretty sure a ref actually did come out and say, yeah, that was rigged,
yes.
Unfortunately.
So another thing that adds to like the validity of NBA being rigged is a former NBA ref, Tim Donahue, or whatever the fuck his name is, he admitted that he bet on games.
Yeah, messed up.
And that he would purposely cause fouls or call fouls that would help his spread.
Yeah, it's weird because people, whenever they're like, oh, if I was a ref, I would go ahead and bet, you know, and I take it as a joke because I'm like, oh, you know, you're not that shitty.
Yeah.
But there are people that shitty out there, yeah. Unfortunately. And whatever the fuck his name is one of those people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I hate that it's out there and it was a rigged game.
Yeah.
You know, I still think the Lakers are a better team. The Kings were just playing better that series, mm-hmm. but damn, that one just hurts. Some other rigged moments, I guess. When Patrick Ewing got drafted by the Knicks, you can see them at the lottery folding the Knicks card.
Yeah.
Make sure they get the number one pick. Because Knicks were kind of fading out of relevancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a great run in the 70s, and then they were kind of like, okay, what's going on? And obviously they were bad enough to get in the lottery, so they really just needed something to, you know, rejuvenate them.
Yeah. I was watching the video. The guy, the independent, in quotations, the independent guy that was putting in the cards that had all the team's logos on them, he worked for like an auditing firm that owned the Knicks. Okay, something like that. And you can see in the video, he like hits it against like the bubble to where it does bend. And then you see David Stern grab the ones, like he doesn't like look away. He literally looks into it and he sees what he's grabbing. Flips over the one that, because there was two that was connected to the Knicks one, and he flips it over, lets go of them, so you know that he has the Knicks one, and he pulls out the Knicks. Like, to my head, they're doing it because big markets. New York is a huge market, regardless of what sport you're in, or what sport you're watching. And Patrick Ewing was by far the best player going into that draft. The Knicks had to stay relevant for the market to help them out. So, the NBA did shit like that.
Isn't David Stern like a Knicks fan too? Like, he sounds like he's from New York, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was either.
Yeah.
You know? But you can only get away with so much.
Yeah.
I have a couple draft instances that some people may think are like fishy. Like, how did that happen?
Yep.
The first one is the Tim Duncan draft. The Spurs got the pick because David Robinson was out with a horrible back injury.
Mm-hmm.
And uh, I I kind of wonder if the league was like, all right, David Robinson, he's like a good representation of the NBA. Mm-hmm. He's just had shitty luck his whole NBA career. He hasn't really had a good number two option. San Antonio hasn't won a title yet. Mm. Let's try to give him Tim Duncan. You know, I don't like to think of it like that because it's a really nice story. Mm. You know, David Robinson getting a partner. It's kind of like Luka and Dirk on the same team before they go their separate ways. Mm. But that's one of them. The other one is the Derrick Rose draft.
Yeah.
Because the Bulls literally had like a 1% chance of getting this kid.
Yeah.
And he's from Chicago. Mm. And they did it. Like, was that really just all up to chance?
I don't know. Because you think about it, Chicago is also a huge market. Then they also do like the same thing with LeBron, kind of, you know, bringing the kid from Akron to Cleveland. Like, he's literally a hometown kid.
Yeah. And, like, what if he went to the Pistons that year?
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have won a title his first year.
And, like, another thing with that is, like, when, like, the Cavs didn't really have, like, a good percentage in, like, 2014, I believe. When they got Kyrie. And then, and then when they got Wiggins in 2016 or 2015 or something like that, and then they traded him for K-Love, they didn't have a good percentage either to get the number one pick. And so, or the number two pick, whatever it was. And it feels like the NBA rigged that so that LeBron could come back to Cleveland, create a better story, win a title, all that shit.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he had it all mapped out. He's like, okay, I'm going to leave in 2010. They're going to get the Kyrie pick, keep Kyrie. We're going to go on our little run, wait until D-Wade is fizzling out and Bosh is fizzling out. So he leaves.
Yeah.
They win the lottery pick. Oh, of course, Anthony Bennett is in there, as we all know. Win the lottery pick twice in a row. They do the Andrew Wiggins trade for K-Love. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, LeBron has a championship contender.
Yeah.
That ended up working out a year later. Kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like playing 40 chess. And I want to say that he like had it all mapped out from the start, but you have to be a genius to do that.
Yeah.
Like some GMs can't even think that far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Some things, there's another story of GMs being completely pissed off. So after Hurricane Katrina, the Hornets had to end up selling their franchise to the NBA because they just couldn't afford it anymore.
Right.
So the Hornets had a really low percentage of getting the number one draft pick that year, and the guy Anthony Davis, who was seen wearing a Hornets hat 2 weeks before in a photograph. And so now, because the NBA had a franchise that had a good player on it, was actually creating some value for the team, they can now sell it. I believe the New Orleans Saints owners also own the Hornets now, or whatever it is, the Pelicans. And so, like, they had enough money, they got Anthony Davis to create a high-level franchise to where they could sell it and the NBA could make money.
Yeah, and I feel like that kind of ties into the Zion pick this year.
Mm.
Because with AD going, first off, I think AD and Zion together on the same team would have been fucking badass.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we got to see him and LeBron play, but damn, I wish I lived in an alternate universe sometimes where that happened. Because damn, no one is getting a rebound.
Yeah.
But New Orleans was kind of looking fucked for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Until the Zion pick happened, and I think it's going to pay off for them. Ingram was looking good, you know, they have a decent bench, but I can't even imagine where the Pelicans would be if, you know, they got RJ Barrett or, you know, one of the later picks. I think Zion works out perfectly, but then again, they got to be very lucky to get that pick.
Yeah.
And it fits a little too well, you know?
Yeah, I just have, like, this feeling that something's going on because the lottery that we see on TV is not the actual lottery that happens. They're doing it in a private room, like a couple hours before, no cameras, no nothing. And then when they come out, like the representatives from the teams that you see on TV are not the representatives that are in the private room. They're like your GMs, assistant GMs, whatever. And they're doing it inside of this private room. And Adam Silver is there. Like, they could be formulating something, you know? And then when they do it on TV, it's like, oh, okay, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But there's this private shit that's going on.
The trades that happen on draft night, too, some of them are, like, way too quick.
Yeah.
Like, you just knew they were thinking way ahead or they talked to the team beforehand.
Yeah.
You know? But I cannot wait for the draft coming up. Hate to put you on the hot spot really quick. Let's just assume the T-Wolves cannot trade the pick. I really think they could be fine either way, but who would you draft in this class?
So they can't trade it?
If they, you know, trading is not an option. Like, they're going to pick someone.
Can I trade down?
No.
Fuck. Okay.
Best fit for the Timberwolves in the rookie class.
Right now. Probably Anthony Edwards.
I like that.
Good, solid forward. You can play either the small or the power forward position. Man, yeah, that would probably do that. But if I was in an alternative universe where I could trade them one pick, honestly, I'd want D-Book, no question about it. But Ben Simmons wouldn't be a bad alternative, but I just wouldn't like that, really.
People don't like watching him play, unfortunately. Yeah. He's not really a traditional player, but I think the Timberwolves are going to be better than they were last year for sure.
Because honestly, we don't need a point guard, in my opinion. I think D'Angelo Russell does a good job. You know, we got a few good backups that are young, and I think that they'll be fine. But I think we need a shooting guard because we really don't have that right now without Wiggins.
Right.
And Malik Beasley is getting himself in trouble, so who fucking knows if he's going to be.
Yeah, he was messing around with that deadly marijuana. Yeah. You know, so many overdoses per year, man. Anyway, I think that's a great, you know, pick. Edwards is going to be a phenomenal player, but I cannot wait for draft night, and I'm sure you can't wait either.
Yeah, it should be interesting. It's been a long time since the Timberwolves had number one pick. I mean, a long, long-ass time, so it should be interesting. I mean, even when KG got picked, I don't think he was the number one pick.
No, he was like fifth.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
18-year-old. Yeah. It's crazy. Back to some rigged, maybe, maybe not moments. Two moments in the finals that people say are rigged, but I doubt it. 2006, Mavs versus Heat.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Dwayne Wade series where he just absolutely went bananas. Mm-hmm. People are saying that Wade got like a shit ton of fouls called on him, and it just completely... swung the game in the Heat's favor, and the Mavericks should have been champions that year. I say you didn't watch the fucking game because Wade was just like attacking the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he discovered how to attack in game three after they were down two.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept abusing it and abusing it. And I just don't think Dallas had an answer, you know, and there are threads on Twitter explaining it more in detail, but no, I'm not going to let anyone shit on Dwayne Wade's legacy by saying that series was rigged.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I mean, I don't understand that one, to be honest. I think that the Heat definitely deserved to win that title. They were just ready to go. Shaq was ready to go. T-Wade was ready to go.
Yeah, and plus before the Mavs won the whole thing in 2011, finally, against T-Wade and LeBron, they had a history of choking in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, it's just some teams are known for that. The next series is 10 years later, the 2016 finals. This was the whole, oh, well, Draymond was hurt argument.
Hmm.
It was like, oh, LeBron had 41 points, Draymond wasn't playing. Well, you know who played the next game after that? Draymond. And you know who also had 41 points? LeBron.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sorry, but it kind of evens out because Kevin Love was absent for two of those games, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, I think so. The first few.
And I like Draymond. He's a big impact in the court, but I don't really think that's the difference maker that series.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think Draymond is really that good of a defensive player when it comes to on-ball defense. I think he's a great post defender, but when it comes to, like, perimeter defense, he's going to get beat every time, especially if he's guarding LeBron.
Oh, yeah, and that call, too. I mean, it was just overdue. I mean, he got away with the whole Steven Adams nut kick thing, and he had been doing that before. And it's like, dude, I don't know why you're looking surprised when you're getting tossed out of the game, because you know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah,
I've seen so much basketball in my life. I've never seen anyone try to kick someone in the nuts.
Yeah.
That's not an accident. Like, you tried, you're a horrible actor, give it up.
Yeah. Also, fuck Grayson Allen, too, while we're on the topic.
Yeah, fuck Grayson Allen, actually. I really don't like that guy at all. I hope the Grizzlies get rid of him, because I like Ja and I like the Grizzlies. They're like a low-key favorite of mine. But yep. Grayson Allen is just a giant...
douche.
He's just a giant hemorrhoid on the whole team.
Jesus. Fuck, man.
You got any more rigged conspiracies?
No, I don't think so. I'm all out of the conspiracies. But yeah.
All right, time to take the tinfoil hat off. All right, it's off. Yeah.
Fuck. Well, that's all the time we have for the podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode. All the episodes, like, we appreciate you guys so much. If you guys want to, just go to our Instagram. We'll keep posting there. We'll let you know what our lives are up to and all that shit. But yeah, shit, man. That's our podcast.
That's the podcast. I had an absolute blast doing it. Shout out to the fans and other, you know, sports podcasters out there.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Instagram and Apple Music or wherever had such a strong sports podcast community.
Yeah, dude. I definitely felt it the entire time. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So if you're one of those podcasts who did one of our tournaments, you know, or picks, shout out to you for making it all the more fun. Mm-hmm. We'll still be there to interact on Instagram. Feel free to leave questions for us underneath some of our questionable posts, like why the fuck isn't Barry Sanders on there? and why is the UConn women's coach on there? We'll be there to answer all your stupid questions, okay? But we'll also be there to answer your good questions, too. Don't worry.
Alrighty, well, that's a wrap. I'm Jacob.
I'm Cam.
And this has been an Intentionally Foul podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.